It's such a fantasy for so many, it's hard to believe it can happen, but it did. Robert Valleen was 15 when he stepped into the lights that night in Moorhead, a schoolboy who'd gone home for lunch and heard about the plane crash on the radio.
You'd think the show would have been canceled. But, you know, there was also the tradition of the show must go on, and the radio station said, we're going on with the show, and we're looking for some local talent to help fill in the evening. And we heard that on the radio, and one of the guys called the radio station. No audition, no what's the name of the band, nothing. He said, come on down.
Now it just seems like mythic timing.
We were the second act on. The Waylon Jennings, who was one of the new crickets at that point, went out and did a little tribute to the Fallen Stars. And then Charlie Boone, who's a disc jockey, he turned around to me and he said, what's the name of the band? And we looked at each other just dumbfounded. We didn't have a name. And I said, The Shadows. And he turned around to the microphone. He said, ladies and gentlemen, here they are, The Shadows.
Forty years later, Bobby V is still playing, backed this afternoon by his sons, Jeff and Tommy and Robbie, in the basement of his home near St. Cloud. Any kinks in their Buddy Holly repertoire are long since worked out. Was hardly rock and roll country. In fact, it was country and western country. Bob Valleen grew up going to the Moorhead Armory to see Johnny Cash, Ernest Tubb, and Hank Snow.
I remember very clearly listening to the Lem Hawkins show, and one day he played a song by Elvis Presley called That's All Right Mama, and I thought, boy, wow, man, country music. Didn't call it rock and roll. I just thought it was really good country music.
As rock and roll gained steam and a name, the Valleens put away their trumpets and trombones and acquired guitars. Soon Bill Valleen and a few friends started a band, not to perform, just to play. Bobby was 5 years younger than Bill. He wasn't invited.
My brother would go, and he'd come back all pumped about this music. Oh, man, it was great. You know, well, what'd you do, Bill? Oh, geez, we did some Elvis songs and some, you know, Buddy Holly. And, oh, man, Bill, you got to bring me along. I was 5 years younger. You know, but he was a great friend, too. And I got there, and what I realized when I was listening to him play was that nobody sang. They just played the music. And so they would be playing some, you know, Gene Vincent song or something, and nobody sang. And so they would get lost in the music. And I would say, Bill, it's the bridge, you know, it's the bridge. Well, I want a lot, loving, is, you know, wherever we were in the song. Oh, yeah, okay, thanks. And little by little, I started singing the songs, and it was easier for him to follow along.
It was the sort of thing that was happening all over. The television 50s, only real. Teenagers in 10,000 garages were strapping on guitars, mimicking and mangling riffs off their 45s, producing enormous noises and parental apprehension. And then, unlikely as it seemed, several performers at the top of the charts undertook a Midwestern tour. The Winter Dance Party, it was called. Holly and the Crickets, Richie Valens, the Big Bopper, Dion and the Belmonts. The Valleens and their buddies bought tickets.
We had never experienced anything like that in the Midwest. To have a tour like that with that many stars on it traveling through playing rock and roll. So in my 15-year-old life, that was one of the big events.
A big event, V says, even before he went home for a sandwich and turned on the radio. Longtime WCCO announcer Charlie Boone was then a personality on the Fargo station sponsoring the concert.
When we heard the news about the plane crash in Iowa, we were all shocked. We couldn't believe it. And we thought, what about the concert tonight? And I went on the air in the afternoon, and I could tell from listener calls that they wanted the concert to go on. And we kind of all felt, you know, as you will, you say the show must go on.
School was out at 3 o'clock, giving the Shadows, as they were soon to be known, 4 hours to get ready. In their sadness and excitement, they talked over what to play. They ate supper. They ran downtown and bought matching sweaters.
It was an emotional evening. I mean, it was a knee-jerk, head-jerk event. All of a sudden, then, the spirit of coming together to get through this thing came down to me. It was our turn, and we had to play.
What did you play?
I don't remember specifically. Bill and I talked about this years later. Neither of us could name anything. We knew that we did some Everly Brothers songs, probably Bye Bye Love. We knew that we did some Little Richard. I think we did Lucille, maybe. And we only did about a 20-minute set. But there was a fellow in the audience that came up afterwards and said, "Great job, guys. You know, great job. You guys are terrific." And gave us his card. He said, "If you're looking for work, give me a call."
The next day, Bobby V signed his first autograph when a girl approached him at school. Thereafter, the Shadows played every event they could get to. And on June 1st, they went to Minneapolis to record Susie Baby, the first of 36 hits V would chart in the 17 years to come.
Susie Baby, where are you? Have you left me for so long? Oh, wonder.
Bobby V will headline the tribute concert at the Surf Ballroom in Clear Lake, Iowa, shadowed this time by his sons, the V's. The Crickets will be there as well, and J.P. Richards Jr., the son of the Big Bopper. Leif Anger, Minnesota Public Radio.